Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the North Shore Drive podcast without Chris Carter. As you can see, Christopher Carter is off right now, out of town. So I'm Brian Batko, talking today with Ray Fittipaldi. We'll get into everything from Steelers Jaguars 20-10 loss that ended their two-game winning streak, and of course it's a short week. We'll preview Steelers Titans to some degree, and Mike Tomlin already spoke this week, so we can break down a little bit of what he had to say as well. And how does Chris always start these shows? Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
And pay no mind to the intro clip there. No Christopher Carter on this show. So it's back with the old Steelers podcast crew, Brian and Ray. Ray, how's it going?
Good, Brian. How's it going? A little bit of a short week action this week. Looking forward to Thursday night football.
Yeah, next man up here for us as well. The Steelers dealing with those situations a lot this week, too. We will discuss all that. But first, remember, the North Shore Drive podcast brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, located right across the street from PNC Park on the North Shore. Hundreds of local craft beers available. No better place in Pittsburgh to try new beers, taking a game, watching a sporting event than our friends at Mike's. They've got dozens of big screen TVs. You can have any game you desire. You can elevate your experience with the food there. Mike's steak on a stone, so good. You can cook your own choice of meat to your desired temperature. Always a good meal. Visit Mike's Beer Bar today. When you get there, tell them we sent you. Ray, what do you want to talk about first? I mean, do you want to get into the post-mortem a little bit of Steelers-Jags? Does that almost feel like old news because they're going to be playing again in 72 hours here, give or take? Tomlin also had some very interesting comments today as well, Monday afternoon. What stands out to you about this so far?
Yeah, I mean, let's get on with the news first. Minkah Fitzpatrick will not play on Thursday due to that hamstring injury. He was injured relatively early in that Jaguars game, did not return. And you kind of knew the way he went down and stayed down that was going to be a multi-week injury, so he won't be available. Kenny Pickett also went down in that game late in the second quarter, did not return. Now, Mike Tomlin said the door is ajar for him.
Definitively ajar, Ray. Mike Tomlin would never – Mike Tomlin can't just say the door's open. The door is definitively ajar for Kenny Pickett. Yeah. We got to translate Tomlinese a little bit.
I was going to say, I don't have my Tomlin translator in front of me, but I assume that means practice – will be their guide for his participation on Thursday night. Seems like a pain tolerance thing to me, Brian, so we'll see how that unfolds. And then Cam Hayward also in consideration this week, according to Tomlin. I still think that's a pretty quick turnaround. You practice for the first time on Thursday, and then you're going to play a week later after groin surgery. I don't know. I guess that's a maybe. They could hold out some hope, but I still think probably the Packers game is more realistic for Cam to come back to the lineup.
Yeah, that Minkah Fitzpatrick injury did not look good. I guess the big thing to wonder about with him is what is that MRI going to turn up? Could it be another IR stint? That would not be good for a Steelers defense that depends on him and relies on him so much. What's your confidence level in the, I mean, I say backups, but you know, the two safeties who played just about every snap in his place on Sunday are really kind of co-starters in Keanu Neal and DeMonte Casey. We know they rotate a lot based on the, you know, the package that they're in and the defensive game plan, what the offense is trying to do. Miles Killebrew conceivably could see more defensive snaps if they want to keep rolling out that three safety look, which they very well may want to do against the Titans offense that relies on the run and specifically puts it in Derrick Henry's chest 20 to 25 times a game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all those guys are going to have to play. You know, Tomlin said on Monday that they're all veterans, so that should lessen the impact of an injury to a guy like Fitzpatrick. But, you know, I think back about that Jaguars game, Brian. Keanu Neal had a tough time chasing around Evan Engram in that game. You know, I don't know that Engram had a ton of yards, but he had a lot of catches and some crucial first downs, including one late in the game. And then you look at KZ, I mean, he kind of got caught in between on that big third down pass to Ridley in the first half that set up a field goal for the Jaguars. And I have no idea what he was doing on that Etienne touchdown. I mean, he came flying up. I don't know what was going on there, but whether that was a miscue on his part or Porter's part, I got a feeling it was both. That was not good tape, as Tomlin likes to say. So I think both those guys will have to pick it up against the Titans.
Yeah, 10 catches, 88 yards for Evan Engram. Seemed like every time we looked up from our vantage point in the press box, number 17 was catching another pass. I had to keep reminding myself that he's a tight end because of the number, the way that he plays, and, yeah, how much damage he was doing against the Steelers. Come on, Jacksonville. It's normally the other team's number one receiver that catches 10 passes in a game against the 2023 Steelers. So, in all seriousness, though, credit to Doug Peterson and his offensive coordinator, Press Taylor. The Steelers have not had good success against the Taylor brothers in these recent seasons. He's the younger brother of Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. But young Press, named after Press Maravich, knew what he was doing, throwing to Engram a lot, stressing the Steelers with Travis Etienne. And boy, Ray, the Etienne Najee Harris first heads-up one-on-one matchup in the NFL, picks 24 and 25 in 2021, I would say did not reflect particularly well on the Steelers' first-round choice in that draft.
No, I mean, Najee had, I think, I don't know, 13 yards on seven carries. His longest run was 3 yards. I mean, it was pretty bad. And listen, you know, Jalen Warren didn't do much better. He led the team with 19 yards. And it's not that Etienne lit up the Steelers in the running game. You know, they had 106 yards total as an offense, and Etienne got his share of those. But they were just methodical in the way they just continued to pound at the Steelers. It was a big part of their game plan. They stuck to it. I think they ran 30 times. And then, of course, the 56-yard touchdown. That's just not in Najee Harris's that's not in his skill set. You can line Etienne up in the backfield. He can do damage as a runner. And as we saw, he can run past your corners and make big plays in the passing game too. So, yeah, if there was any doubt, what do we know? 2.5 years past the day those guys were drafted, I think it's pretty obvious, at least for now, the Jaguars got the better running back.
Yeah, you give Harris the nod for durability. I mean, Etienne missed his entire rookie season with an Achilles injury, but man, when they're both healthy, sure looks like the runner from Clemson might have the upper hand over the one from Alabama. There's plenty of factors there, like you said, Ray. Offensive scheme, offensive line. We can talk about both of those things in the next segment. Quarterback, and we will talk about both of those things in the next segment. Remember, this show, the North Shore Drive, brought to you by our friends at Mike's Beer Bar, best place to catch a game here in Pittsburgh. It's great that they sponsor us. That's right in our name, the North Shore. Also, it can go across the street to the North Shore Tavern, but Mike's got so many beers rotating each and every week. Can always get the game that you want. It'd be a great place to hang out tonight for the Sports Equinox. All four major professional sports leagues are in action tonight, Ray. The NFL, Major League Baseball World Series, NHL, and the NBA all have games on tonight. So what better time to go sit at Mike's, have a pint, and watch some ball. We'll be right back here on the North Shore Drive.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Drive from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Brian Batko and Ray Fittipaldo joining you here on this Monday, talking Steelers, Jags. And Ray, I want to get into to one more kind of comment that's related to the Monte KZ interception that we talked about in the first segment. I mean, like you said, kind of a boneheaded move to bring it out at that point. I know it's probably something to be said for like athletic instinct. You know, at that point, you're just trying to make a play, but I thought it was really funny. Like in the moment, some of us in the press box were kind of making jokes. And I think some people were saying it on Twitter too. Like he knows he has a better chance of a 106-yard touchdown interception return than his offense does of scoring at this point in time, especially in that game. But there was a remark by Mike Tomlin Monday that almost like lent some harsh reality and cold truth to that, because he was talking about in his opening statement, which, I mean, you know as well as anybody, Ray, you're always there on Tuesdays with Jerry Dulac, and I made an unusual appearance today because it was on a Monday. I'm usually off on Tuesdays, but, you know, he brought up unsolicited that they had splash plays and they had takeaways, but they weren't takeaways that were all that advantageous, which is just kind of incredible to hear. I mean, Ray, you've been playing football your whole life. What's the number one key to any game? It's winning the turnover battle, right? They yeah. do that. And yet the head coach that preaches that more than anybody is basically like, hold on a second. Have you watched this team play? If we can get turnovers, that's one thing, but we really need them to give our offense a short field like they did in LA, so we don't have to actually mount the drive or hit a big play.
It's pretty remarkable that he said that. I mean, we all kind of know, like, Mike Tomlin likes to paint a picture with his news conferences, and I think he enjoys coming up with different words, you know, in his vocabulary to describe what's going on. But that was out of the ordinary. I mean, out of left field, too. I mean, it's almost like he was saying, yeah, we need TJ Watt to pick off a pass and to return it to the 7-yard line to set us up first and goal if we're actually going to score in this football game. And you brought up the KZ play. I mean, you're right. I think the Steelers ended up, what, on the 2-yard line. They marched down the field, but they had to kick a field goal because Kenny missed Deontay Johnson in the end zone on that drive. So
yeah, they
stall out
and they do it in fun and interesting ways every time, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's uncanny the way that that they play in the first halves of games. I was looking up this statistic today. In the past 4 games, I mean, I went back to the beginning of the season. I even forgot that they scored a touchdown in the first half against the 49ers and also against the Raiders. But in the last 4 games, Brian, they have been outscored in the first halves of games 44-9. And somehow they've won 2 of those games. So I think the offense is even worse than it was early in the season, if that's possible. They're just not giving themselves a chance to win these football games because they're so bad in the first and second quarter. I don't know what they can do at this point, Brian. We're pretty much halfway through the season. Nothing has improved. And as I said, I mean, based on some of the stats I just mentioned, it's probably gotten worse since the beginning of the year.
And that was another topic of discussion that Tomlin I gave kind of a head-scratching answer on, frankly, for me today, that I think he was asked a question about this one. This wasn't unprompted, like the takeaways thing, but I think somebody asked him about the lack of success early in games that you mentioned there, Ray, and I don't have the exact answer in front of me, but I'll hopefully capture the meaning of what he said. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he basically said games aren't won and lost in the first half, which – in general, yeah, that's true. And it speaks to the consistent mindset mentality of this team of just keep it close and we feel like we'll come through. But once again, this is like not, it's like not really seeing the forest for the trees here with him, that if you have a better start to a game, and again, like maybe this is his subtle way of saying, guys, we're just not capable and I'll fix it after the season if I can. But obviously if you start off better, you don't have to try to rally back or hold off a team in the second half. I mean, it's just, again, like I said, at least he is consistent in what he thinks is the formula for this team, and he is answering as such.
Brian, is there any other coach in the NFL who can get away with saying that? Maybe Bill Belichick can come off and say, oh, yeah, the first half isn't important. There are 30 other coaches who wouldn't even think of saying that. But
yeah, I don't think he said the first half isn't important, but you're right. The way that he said it and framed it, it really, it made it sound like it's almost it's an afterthought. Like it's so much less important than the third and fourth quarters.
Yeah, I mean, most coaches would say, yeah, listen, we got to find a way to score. We got to find a way to get better, or we're not doing a good enough job. That's not Mike's modus operandi. Like you said, he really leans into that fourth quarter mentality, keep the score close. Our defense is going to play great, and then we'll make plays at the end. And, I mean, I guess it was true again yesterday. I mean, with 9:20 to go, the Steelers have a 2nd-and-3 trailing by 7, and then Mitch Trubisky makes a terrible mistake and throws it 40 yards downfield with a triple coverage. So, you know, I mean, Mike was technically correct. I mean, if Mitch can make – come up with a drive there and not make that mistake, I suppose the Steelers did have a chance to win that football game in similar fashion, but it just didn't feel like those other games when Kenny was involved. And that's not a knock on Mitch. It's just kind of, just a knock on where they are as an offense right now in totality. They just aren't very good. As Isaac Seumalo said after the game, they just kind of suck right now.
Yes, well put by Isaac, who doesn't speak often, but I guess when he does, you should heed his words. We're going to talk about I'm glad you bring up Trubisky. We got to talk about the quarterback situation a little bit more, because obviously that looms large for Thursday night against the Titans. And, you know, maybe we'll get into some stuff too that could give you some a little bit of optimism ahead of that game. If you're thinking about going to that game Thursday night, but you don't want to commit just yet, it's tough. We don't know how cold it's going to be. Night games, you might have work in the next morning. Game Time is your best bet. With Game Time, you can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what you're getting into, what you expect when you arrive. The all-in prices at Game Time, too, show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you even check out. Unlike some other ticket sites, you can buy the tickets in seconds with two taps, so you can really take it right up till kickoff if you're on the fence. Game Time's got deals on tickets right up to the start of those games, even an hour after it starts. Plus, the Game Time guarantee that they've got means you always get the best price. If you do find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So yeah, download the Game Time app, create an account, use code PITT for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PITT, PIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. This show is also brought to you by Savinus, Kane, and Gallucci, mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. That's Savinus, Kane, and Gallucci. Call them now for a free consultation. We'll be right back.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Batco and Ray Fittipaldo with you back here, brought to you again by Mike's Beer Bar, another great place to watch games. The North Shore Tavern right next door, but Mike's got so many beers on tap. We love it there. You hear Chris Carter talk about it in glowing terms every week. Thanks as always to Mike for bringing you the show. And Ray, Thursday night, great place to maybe get yourself some liquid courage to watch the Steelers offense again would be Mike's Beer Bar, because who knows how ugly this game's going to be against a Mike Vrabel-led team. The Titans are sort of like this what the Steelers have been built to be, but in a final form, possibly decrepit form, although they've got some optimism in the form of rookie quarterback Will Levis, who threw four touchdown passes Sunday in an unexpected start against the Falcons. We'll see who's starting under center for the Steelers Thursday night. I mean, Mike Tomlin, I think we mentioned it at the outset of the show. Yes, it sounds like Kenny Pickett's very much in play after that rib injury knocked him out against the Jaguars. But he also said, look, he's a young player at a significant position. I'm going to need to see something from him this week, some type of work. In previous instances where he's dealt with stuff, be it head injuries or the leg, what was it early in the season, knee that he had, slash maybe calf after that Texans game, he was able to work a decent amount, and that kind of put his availability to rest. But in this case, like you said, pain tolerance, rib issues are tricky. If he can't go, what's your level of encouragement in Mitch Trubisky and what we saw from him down the stretch against Jacksonville?
I don't know. One good drive, maybe?
Yeah.
You know, took advantage of a one-on-one with Pickens. I'll give him credit for that. But, I mean, other than that, it was pretty much the same as when Kenny was in there. The stats, Kenny for almost two quarters, 10 for 16, 73 yards. Mitch pretty much the same. I know he had 138 yards passing Brian, but a bunch of those came on that final drive when the Jaguars were in prevent defense. So, I mean, it was pretty much the same. I thought it was a whole bunch of stink, quite honestly, from that Steelers offense.
So, okay, Isaac Seumalo.
Yeah.
Isaac Fittipaldo.
A lot of people in talk radio land want to see Mason Rudolph. That's not going to happen. Mr. Trubisky's the guy. Mike Tomlin.
Do you, though, Ray? Do you think there's any credence to the Mason Rudolph talk?
No, I mean, Brian, like, what did we hear for two or three years in the final stages of Ben Roethlisberger's career? He wanted his next quarterback to have mobility. And, Mitch had a 10-yard scramble. That's just not something that Mason Rudolph provides to you. And with that offensive line, I don't know. People would just grasp at straws. But with that offensive line, Mason Rudolph is a statue back there already. He's going to be –
you'd be holding your breath every time he drops back.
He'd be a sitting duck back there. So at least Trubisky, if Pickett can't play, at least he can run a little bit. He's a good athlete. So – I never thought that was a possibility. But to answer your question, I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do I feel? I don't know. About a 3. How about you? It's not very good.
Yeah, I might go a little higher. And this is what I'll say. Like, fine, I'll be the glass half full guy, I guess, today. Mitch Trubisky, we know that the best he played last year in his first season with the Steelers was actually in relief of Kenny Pickett versus those first 4 weeks when he was QB1.
Right.
I think I said this in my chat today, I think if there's a way to kind of thread the needle to give yourself a glimmer of hope, if Trubisky does have to start against Tennessee, when he was the starter, I think we all can agree he played kind of tentatively. In his defense, maybe he towed the company line. Everything we just talked about philosophy-wise with this offense and the team, and he didn't want to turn the ball over, made for some very ugly offense in its own right versus last year, against Carolina when we knew Kenny Pickett was out. The only question throughout the week was Mitch or Mason. Mike Tomlin didn't even entertain that discussion today, like you said. But when Trubisky did get a week full of reps and he went out there knowing, hey, this is probably a 1 week cameo for me, that was the best he played. And albeit it was against the Panthers team that wasn't very good, but the defense was better than the offense last season. Maybe you can just kind of talk yourself into getting a couple practices under his belt if he needs to, knowing going into this week he might be the starter from snap one, wire to wire. Maybe he can marry that, aggressive to a fault way that he plays when he comes in. And, I mean, I think, you, Jerry, and I were talking about this a little last night. It wasn't good what we saw from Trubisky in the second half yesterday, but – you come in, you're trailing, you feel like you need to do something rather than just sit on your hands. You want to try to move the offense as a backup in that situation. Maybe he can find that, strike that right balance of trying to move the ball down the field versus I'm not going to be reckless with it. Although, hey, if you could do that consistently overall, sorry to say, respectfully, no offense, but you wouldn't be Mitch Trubisky and on your third team and out of the place that took you with the number two overall pick. So that's what makes it tough.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and what you're talking about for this week on a short week, it's that mindset of being a starter, right? It's not so much going to be the practice reps, because you and I were down there today. There was no practice.
Right.
They're going to put out like a theoretical injury report later on Monday, but there was no practice. And Tuesday will really be their only practice, although Mike Tomlin did say that they'll work on Wednesday. So maybe there'll be like 1.5 practices this week. So yeah,
we won't be there to see it though. So
yeah, practices are closed the day before games as always, but I don't know, maybe 1.5 days worth of practice. Maybe that is enough for a quarterback, but listen, Mitch has been in the league since 2017. He's been around. He knows how to go about it mentally. He'll get those mental reps. He'll study. So from that aspect, I do have confidence that, you know, Mitch is a pro, and Mike Tomlin talked about that today too. You know, he's done everything that's been asked of him.
Yeah.
But when it gets into games and maybe you're trailing, do you understand that your defense is really good, or are you going to try to throw into triple coverage again? I mean, you know, unfortunately for Mitch, that's his reputation going all the way back to his days with the Bears. That was a really good team, or I should say he played on a really good team with a good defense back then, and he still kind of made some mistakes that ended up costing his team some games. So, you know, if he has to play again on Thursday, obviously they'll drill into his psyche that, hey, don't turn the ball over. But, you know, for Mitch, that's easier said than done, I think.
Right. Maybe this will all be moot, and Kenny Pickett will meet with us Tuesday after practice and say, guys, I feel great. It just wasn't the right time to go back into that game, but I'm ready to go. And, you know, to Kenny's credit, guy's been a gamer, takes a lot to keep him out. Last year, the only thing that kept him out was concussion protocol. Again, this year, you know, he got knocked out of that Texans game, but was right back on the horse the next week. And I'm sure this will be a topic for the next 48 hours in this town. Do you even roll with him if there's any doubt whatsoever about his health, or with two games in 5 days, do you just say, look, the Titans aren't particularly good. We can have Mitch out there, like you said, Ray, leading one good drive and maybe still win this game 13-7. That's got to be part of the calculations this week for Tomlin and company.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's tough on a short week, Brian. You know, that defense has to worry about Derrick Henry. Where's Robert Spillane when you need him? Maybe they can get somebody.
Or Joe Hayden had the pass break up to win that game in 2021.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to have to be more than the offense. I guess that's my point. You know, say what you want about Levis. I mean, this doesn't make Matt Canada look very well, but first career start, he comes out and throws 4 touchdowns. I mean, you know, I mean, everything just kind of lines up against Canada and that Steelers offense eventually, it seems, week to week, with if you want to criticize them or not. But, yeah, I mean, getting back to my original point, of course the offense has to be better, but this is going to be no cakewalk for this defense. I mean, Derrick Henry is always a handful. Hopkins looks like he's maybe going to get going a little bit.
You know, rejuvenated possibly with the new QB in it. Yeah, you got to think they're taking some momentum and confidence into this game after that too.
They're not trading any of those guys. Those guys could say, okay, I'm here for the rest of the year. Let's see what we could do.
Or maybe they will trade them. Maybe we'll wake up tomorrow and the Titans are depleted in their tanking to try to build around Will Levis a year from now. Who the heck knows?
Or maybe Omar Khan will make a move. We'll have to stay tuned tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Yeah, you heard me try to ask Tomlin about that at the end of his presser today. What did he say? We're always open for business.
But open for business. Omar is always open for business, so we'll see.
Hey, maybe if we wanted to be the hot take artists, we could just slap on, you know, we can talk about this for a second and slap on the headline. Does Mike Tomlin want a fire sale of his team? I mean, he said they're open for business. He wants teams to come get these guys. But no, obviously he's simply escaping answering any direct question directly in his own right. So what else is new? I don't envy you and Jerry and the usual Tuesday duties.
Yeah, you got a little bit of taste of it today, didn't you?
Yes. I missed it so much. But all right, Ray. Well, anything else you want to add before we jump out of here?
No, I mean, Brent, this is a big game. I mean, people were talking, oh, if they sweep this three-game homestand, they could be 7-2. Now you got to win two in a row just to be 6-3. And I think relevant in the second half of the season. Still got to play the Bengals twice. Bengals are coming on now. Road games at Cleveland and Baltimore. Road game at Seattle. I mean, that second half of the season is going to be tough. So, for me, if you want a chance to make the playoffs, and I don't know if it's guaranteed you'll make the playoffs if you're 6-3, but they'll have a much better shot if they can win these two games here against the Titans and the Packers.
Yeah, AFC North opponents are not going away. They're all above 500, so it won't be easy to keep pace in this division and obviously in this conference overall, because you've got the heavy hitters over here in the AFC. Even the Chargers went out and got a win last night at home against the lowly Chicago Bears. But all right, that does it for us, everybody. Thanks as always for checking out the North Shore Drive podcast, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar right there on the North Shore across from PNC Park. Go there for all your game watching needs. Next week, we've got going to roll back an hour daylight savings time. You can even spend an extra hour at Mike's tipping them back. So thank you to them. Also want to tell you about the great Yinzer tailgate, which will be bringing the best of the Berg to South Point November 4th, showcasing Pittsburgh's rich culture, iconic sports history, and vibrant community spirit. The Great Yinzer Tailgate will immerse you in the unique blend of traditions that make our Pittsburgh legendary. Visit www.thegreatyinzertailgate.com to learn more. We will see Yinz there.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description. We'll be right back.